Good morning, Hope Church. How you doing? Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Good to see you today. Are you glad to be in the house of God? Amen. Well, God bless you. If you're a first-time guest with us, we'll give you anonymity. We're glad that you're here, but we'll not ask you to say or do anything to draw attention to yourself. We just want this to be a great experience. Amen. And for those who are watching by live stream on our Facebook page, thank you for watching. Please check in by letting us know where you're watching. If you have any questions or comments, please leave those and share if you would so we can also spread hope to other people. God bless you. God bless you. We're starting a new series today called Mannequin Challenge. How many people know what a mannequin challenge is? We actually did that on our last first Friday in December, and it was a lot of fun that evening. And I was very impressed with those of you who were here that did it. And the different poses and postures. Every time you watch it, you can pick up something different. But the context of what we're talking about is the concept of in life, we deal with challenges, problems, and how not to get stuck. Because you could be living in life, but stopped living life. In the motion, but no progression. Because somewhere in the past, someone hurt you. You know, I was doing great until that person turned on me and they really rocked my world. And after that, you stopped growing emotionally because you're afraid to open up, because you're closed down because of what somebody did years ago. Everything was going great, but I lost this job and it hurt me financially, and I haven't ever been able to recover from that past pain, past problem. I believe there's a lot of people in life that deal with stuff and don't handle it correctly and find themselves freezing in the plan that God has for them, the progression God has for them. And as Christians, we have something that's different than the world. And we're going to talk in this beginning service today, but also throughout the series, about God's plan for how we can handle the challenges of life without getting stuck in the pain of the past. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together. Lord, we just invite your presence here. We plead the blood of Jesus over this house and over this moment. And we decree and declare by the authority in the name of Jesus that this is right now a God moment for those who are watching, those who are here. Father, we thank you for victory. We thank you for peace. We thank you for clarity. We thank you for direction. We thank you for your presence and your power. Now open our hearts and our minds so that we can receive from you and obey you and do what you've called us to do so that we can be what you've called us to be, have what you've called us to have, and reach those who you've called us to reach. And we give you praise. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. Say, I'm blessed to be a blessing. If you would, take your Bibles. A key verse that we're going to look at today is out of the Gospel of John, chapter 16. John 16. If you don't have a Bible, you can look to the screen. And let's throw that up there. It says, in this world, now Jesus is talking, and he's saying, in this world you shall have tribulations. I just want to stop right there and tell you that that's a very sad part of the verse right there. In this world, you'll have challenges. In this world, you're going to have some issues to deal with. In this world, you'll have some giants in your promised land. I would prefer that when I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior and gave him my heart and life, that after that, everybody would like me. After that, everything would be easy. Everything would be simple. But just because you're saved and love Jesus doesn't mean that everything just falls into your lap. Did you hear me? Jesus said, in this world, you'll have trials and tribulations or challenges. It's normal to have challenges, but it's not normal to live defeated. Let me say that again. It's normal to have challenges, but it's not normal for you to live defeated. Never think that your walk with God in Christianity means that now you never have to deal with a problem. No, problems come to anybody. Jesus said that in this world, will there be challenges, and whoever builds their house, their life on the rock when the storms come, not if, but when. The storms come and beat against the house. That house will stand if it's built on the word. But the person who builds their house on any other thing, on the principles or the direction of anything else other than the word, it's like building a house on sand, not a good foundation. It looks good when the sun's shining. It looks good when the weather's right. But when the weather goes bad, when the circumstances change, when the elements get ugly and it beats against the house, that house falls. See, Jesus didn't say that if you followed my word, you wouldn't have a storm, but he said that you are called to outlast that storm. You were called to win in that battle. You were not called to be an escapist. Some people think that being led by the Spirit of God is always going to the place of least resistance. That's what water does. Water finds the place of least resistance. And the Holy Spirit doesn't always lead you to the place of least resistance. Sometimes he'll lead you to a path. You're like, really? Do I want to deal with that giant? His name's Goliath. Nobody wants to deal with him. Really, Lord? Or the 10 spies who went out and the two came back, Joshua, Caleb, and said, we can take the promised land. It is exactly the way God said it to Moses. We can have it. And sure, there's giants, but we can take it. But the other ones were like, no. Those giants are so big. We look like grasshoppers to them. How would they know what they look like in the mind of their enemy, unless the enemy was already whispering in their ear? So many times our perspective of who we are keeps us, prevents us from moving forward, because we allow what the world says about us. We allow what the mirror says about us. We allow what the report card or the job review or what society says about us. And we define that on who we are, and we will not even take a jump, a step in obeying God because we don't think we can do it. But when you live that way, Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5 and 6 talks about that when you just look at your own ability, when you depend solely on what you can do, the arm of the flesh, your heart will get turned away from God. And the Bible says you'll end up being cursed and not even see when good is coming to you. That's not the plan of your Father. Ephesians says, take advantage or redeem the time, for the days are evil. Redeem or take advantage of the opportunities God gives you. So that's what was happening. Israel, Jesus came at the perfect time. And if they had embraced him, it would have been different. Jesus looked over Jerusalem and said, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, don't you know that now is your time? And if you would only have seen it, I would have embraced you like little chicks bringing under my feather. But you have not recognized me. You have not accepted me. What had happened? The time of the Father, the opportunity for the plan of God to be fulfilled in her life was present. It was right there, but they did not see who he was. And they missed it. I don't want to get to heaven. And God, I said, God, what about this? Well, let me show you the 20 opportunities I gave you. It's like the one man who he saw in the news report, there is a flood coming. You need to evacuate. And he's like, no, I'm a man of God. I'm a man of faith. I'm going to pray and believe, and that water will not come near my house. Water came up to the street, and they say, you need to get out of here. No. Water came into his yard, and someone pulls up with a big 4x4 and says, come on, get in my car. Well, I'll get you in a safe land. No, I don't need it. I'm a man of faith. I've prayed, and it's not going to affect my house. Water gets in the first floor and starts going up to the house, so he goes to the roof. And all of a sudden, a boat comes over and says, jump in the boat. The water's coming, and it's getting higher, and we're trying to save you. No, I don't need any boat. I'm praying and I'm believing God's going to rescue me. Water gets a little higher to the roof, and a helicopter flies over and says, take the ladder, take the ladder. Nope, I don't need a ladder from the helicopter. I prayed God is going to rescue me. The water gets to the top of the roof and he drowns. Dies and goes to heaven. He said, God, why didn't you rescue me? I was believing. God said, I sent you a truck, a boat, and a helicopter. Sometimes we miss the opportunities of God. Sometimes we miss what God is bringing into our life because we see it one way and we don't see it his way. I pray for all of us that our eyes would be open, that we begin to see this year God's way, God's ideas, God's opportunities, because too many times we'll miss the God opportunity because we're looking for our opportunity. We define to God how he needs to heal us. We define to God how he needs to promote us. We define to God how he needs to work out the problem. Lord, here's my issue. I'm telling you. Now, here's how I want you to do it. There's an Old Testament scripture that says, pray for rain. And as they prayed for rain, God sent the clouds. They're looking for rain, and God provides the clouds. We didn't ask for clouds. We asked for rain. But sometimes the provision comes differently than the request. It's still the same way. God's going to send the rain. How did he do it? He brought a cloud. Oh, Lord, please send the rain. All we got is, now it was, if it wasn't bad and dry, now all we got is dark, gloomy clouds. And that makes me feel worse. I'm not getting my vitamin D because there's no sun. Lord, it's getting worse. God say, no, it's not getting worse. I'm bringing the opportunity right to you. You've asked for rain. Now here's the clouds. Let's not miss the opportunities that God has for us this year. Let's not miss the ideas that God has for us. Let's not miss the plans that God has for us. We have to learn to be able to see them and recognize them. And as we look at that verse again, in this world, you'll deal with challenges, tribulations. In this life, you're going to deal with challenges. Challenges are normal in life, but living defeated is not normal in life. Don't take my word for it. Search and challenge the word of God. There is scripture after scripture, Old Testament and New Testament, that talks about God wanting you to be victorious. Give thanks be to God who always causes you to triumph through Christ Jesus. You can do all things through Christ. You're the head and not the tail. Psalms 1, whatever you put your hand to is successful. I'm telling you, that's just a few verses. There are so many that talks about you being a champion more than a conqueror. As we look at this, there's challenges, but be of good cheer. Say, be of good cheer.
Be of good cheer.
Notice, I have overcome. Now, I don't know about you. I like to look at things practically. I don't read the Bible as a fairy tale story. I like to read it as a newspaper. And when you come to a verse like that, that kind of is a little confusing. That's like you going to a friend and saying, I don't know what to do. I was behind already. I got bills due, and I just lost my job. And your friend said, oh, don't worry. Don't feel bad. Be happy. Why? I just got a raise. Now, you getting a raise doesn't make me happy if I just lost my job. Unless your success is tied to my situation. Your success is tied to my situation. What is Jesus saying? Be of good cheer. I've overcome because my success is tied to your situation. Hallelujah. Say, his success is tied to my situation. Didn't Jesus say in the Gospel of John chapter 15, just the chapter before this, and Jesus didn't talk in chapters. The chapters are there for our understanding and reference. Jesus already said in John chapter 15, I'm the vine, you're the branches. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. Without me. Well, wait a minute. Let's be more accurate. Because without Jesus, you can do stuff. We've all messed up big time without Jesus. Come on. Without Jesus, you can make a mess of your life. You can do some crazy things. You can build things he never asked you to build. You can do something without Jesus. What he was saying is, without me, you can never do what the Father wants you to do. Without me, you can never have what the Father wants you to have. Without me, you can never reach who the Father wants you to reach. See, Jesus was not only a substitute work going to the cross of Calvary, he was also an example in this life. And he said, the words that I speak, they're not my words. I'm saying what the Father's saying. The miracles I do, it's the Father doing the miracles. I am a reference. I am an example. I am a reflection to the point of, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was an expressed image in two places in the New Testament says. He was an expressed image of the Father. He was saying, listen, I have learned to understand the will of the Father, and that's what I'm flowing with, and that's why I have success. It's the same way for us with him. Without him, you can do nothing. Oh, I can do all things. Wait a minute, don't stop there. Through Christ. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are more than a conqueror. Why are you more than a conqueror? Because of Jesus. See, my goal for you in this life is that you live the life that Jesus wants you to live, that you go from being a candle on a stand that it benefits everybody in a house to you grow. But it don't stop there. See, God wants you to be blessed so you can be a blessing. He wants to work in you so he can work through you, so you can be a demonstration, an example, a representation of who the character and nature of Jesus is by how your life is shining to others around you that do not know him. He wants you to be a billboard, I like to say, so that the people that don't know Jesus can say, wait a minute, I'm running into a problem and I don't know who to turn to. Oh, but I remember that person at work. It doesn't mean you have to witness to everybody. It doesn't mean you have to be weird. You're not the peculiar people out of Peter was talking about was not being strange. It was literally to be a cut above the rest so that you are displaying the goodness of God. Read that whole verse. It's for you to stand out. And there's one level, you stand out as a candle. Say, I'm a candle.
I'm a candle.
Which brings a light to those in the house. That's why I like to say, you're not called to everybody, but you're called to somebody. And you're to benefit. That light is to benefit. But it doesn't stop there. Have you noticed in the kingdom of God, there is increase. If you're faithful in the little, you'll be faithful in much. There's 30, 60, and 100-fold. It keeps growing. It keeps growing. Your life is supposed to continue to grow. Don't let religion in the world tell you that you hit a peak. And now hang on to it as long as you can because you got to come down. No, get to the word of God. Proverbs 4, verse 18 says that the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter and brighter. And it's you might start as a candle and praise God, you're shining to your world. But Jesus said, listen, you're also just not a candle. I want to take you to the place that you're a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Yes. Hallelujah. A city, when you got a city that is bright at night on a hill, you cannot ignore it. You cannot deny it. And what God wants to do in and through you, I speak prophetically over your life, is to bring you to a place that even the devil, the doubters, and those who are trying to take you down cannot deny or delay or stop what God is doing in and through your life. You become a city on a hill that cannot be denied. For the Gospel of John chapter 1 says that that light comes and darkness cannot comprehend it, King James, which means darkness could not stop it. Darkness could not overshadow it. Darkness could not snuff it out. I'm telling you, when you turn a light switch on in your house, when that light comes on, darkness has to flee. There is no argument. There is no delay. There is no question. When the light comes on, darkness goes. When the light comes on, darkness goes. And wherever you go in the name of Jesus, regardless of the depth of the darkness of demonic activity, the moment you show up, you are not alone. You are a light, and darkness must bow its knee and flee in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 When you step into the situation, darkness must bow its knee because it's not you, it's him. Hallelujah. Without him, you can do nothing, but with him, you can do all things. Amen. And that doesn't mean everybody's going to like you. That doesn't mean everybody's going to agree with you. That doesn't mean everybody's going to, here you go, ma'am, here you go, sir. Go on in. And the devil claps and say, woo, aren't they just doing a good thing for God? No. He'll rise up and he'll whisper in your ear. He'll create images and imaginations in your mind and you'll see it fall apart in failure. But the word of God will prevail if you hang on to the word of God. It will begin to hang on to you and support you, and you can pull down strongholds, cast down imaginations and reasonings and any high thing that try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God and bring into captivity, the Bible says, every thought to the obedience of God in Christ Jesus. You have authority. No weapon formed against you will prosper, and every word that is spoken against you in judgment, you shall condemn. For this is your right, your heritage, and your righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. That's what Isaiah says. That's what the word says. That's what the word says. We got to realize challenges come, and I can talk to you all day about the great things ahead of you, but if we don't deal with some of the stuff that's holding us back, that has frozen us in our steps, we will not make it to reaching forward, because we got to learn to let go, Hebrews says, of the sins and the weights that hold you back so that you can run the race and run it, Paul says, to win it. Run it to win it. It's just not a matter of you, at least I'm going to church. No, God wants you to live life in a way that honors him, and you begin to live and run that race with that mindset that I will not be held back. I will not stop. I will not quit. I will not say I used to run. I am in the race, running it and running as to win it. Run it to win it. God wants you to be more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. I love the word of God. I love the word of God. We need to dig more into the word of God to get strength and direction. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 through 8. I'm telling you, you are more than a conqueror. An example that I've used many times, I still love, is a story of about a boxer, a fighter, for those of you who like boxing. A boxer, when he goes into a heavyweight championship fight, he trains. He eats differently. He isolates himself. No one sees what's going on in his routine that takes months, day in, day out, hour in, hour out. He is running. He is working. He is sweating. He is sparring. He is punching. He's being punched. He's learning to work on his weakness. He is doing all for that one moment to get in the ring. And on the day of the fight, he has separated himself. He has sacrificed. He has paid the price. And if he's done well, he'll get in the ring. And that's when the champions aren't made. They're discovered because they're made in the routine. Let me stop and say that again. A champion is not made in the ring. He's made in the routine. He's only discovered in the ring. Some of you are waiting to be made in the ring. No, you are made in the routine of your life. And you are discovered in the opportunities of God. You are made in the routine of life, and you are discovered in the opportunities of God. You are made in the routine, and you are discovered in the opportunity of God. And all of a sudden, he gets an opportunity, and if he's done well and he wins, they hold his hands up and said, "You have won. You are the champion. You are the conqueror." Shortly after that, he gets cleaned up, goes home. Part of his face is swollen. Most of his face is bruised. Knuckles are hurting. Body is aching. He drags himself into the house. His wife said, "How'd it go?" And he said, "We won." She said, "Great. Where's the check?" "Here you go." She didn't fight a fight. She didn't diet. She didn't run. She didn't take a punch. She didn't throw a punch. She didn't have an ache. She never had a pain. She didn't do any of it. But she is the receiver of the reward from the battle her husband fought. I'm telling you, you are the receiver of the reward of the battle that Jesus won. You are the receiver of the reward of the battle that Jesus won. Don't look to yourself. It's not about you. Set your affection on things above, not on things in the earth. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. You are the receiver. Shout with me, I am the receiver of the battle. I'm the receiver of the reward of the battle that Jesus fought. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Give him a hand clap of praise if you believe it. It's all in the covenant. It's all in the covenant. It's all in the covenant. I'm telling you, he purchased at the cross of Calvary everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's not holding back. The Bible says that if the Father would give his only begotten Son, what else would he withhold from you? Some of us have made stuff greater than Jesus. Well, I know he saved me, but he probably won't bless me. So money's more important than Jesus. Well, I know he saved me, but he probably won't heal me. So healing and health is greater than Jesus. If the Father sent the Son, what else is there? He sent the very best. Everything else is secondary. Everything else is secondary. Father, if you gave me Jesus, then it's all in Jesus. It's all belonging to me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even the prodigal son who blew the money that belonged to him through inheritance and found himself without a dime, without a friend, and without an opportunity. And he lived among the swine, the pigs, feeding the pigs, to the place he was so hungry he wanted to eat what the pigs ate. Now that might not mean much to us today because all we like our ham and bacon when it comes to breakfast. But to a culture of people who did not even touch pigs, because they were unclean. And sin took him to a place where he found that he was feeding what one time he would not even touch. Amen. But it was not the hard time that brought him and made him aware to get him to go back. It was not the hardness of the situation that caused him to go back. It was the remembrance of the provision of his Father. And he said to himself, don't take my word for it, challenge it, look it up. And he said within himself, hey, why am I living this way? Don't all the employees of my Father have more than enough? See, something will stir on the inside and say, why am I settling for this? Why am I stopping at this? Why am I just staying here? See, if you're comfortable with your situation, you'll never believe and strive and work toward what God has for you. As long as you're happy with things, as long as you're, well, it's not the best, but at least it's not as bad as some people I know. You'll never have the what God wants you to have. You'll never do what God wants you to do. You'll never, but when you become wholly unsatisfied, Father, your word says this, and that doesn't match up with my moment. And I know my moment can change, and your word doesn't change. So I am unsatisfied with a moment, and I'm going to challenge the moment, because if I'm happy with it, I will not. You have to get angry. You have to almost get disgusted with that sin that you've accepted. You have to get disgusted with that pain that you've tolerated. You have to get disgusted with that mountain that stands in your way and say, wait a minute, this is not acceptable. This is not acceptable. Something must be done about this before you'll take a step to your promised land. It was the remembrance that he could have better that made him turn to his Father. Not to get into this, but I've preached before, which I think there's a lot of truth in there, that if his other brother would have been operating correctly, he would have heard the sounds of the party from afar and said, wait a minute, that sounds like my father's house. If he would have begun to hear the music from his father's house as they celebrated, because if the father can throw the party and the father told the other son, don't you know all that I have belongs to you? Don't you think then the other brother could have thrown a party? And if the other brother would have thrown a party, his younger brother would have heard the music and it would have reminded him what it was like being under the house of the Father. See, why does God want you to be blessed? To be a blessing, to be a light, to be a billboard, so that you remind people that have fallen away what it's like to be under the provision of the Father. So wait a minute, I remember that sound. I remember that noise. I remember that. I remember having peace. Oh, it's been so long. I forgot about that. And you become something God can use to remind people, for it's the goodness of God, the Bible says, that leads people to repentance. Woo, thank you, Jesus. I got to get into the teaching of this. We're just talking about the future, but how do we deal with the past? Let's look at our next verse real quick. It says here, notice this. Jesus is talking, and they had asked him about parables. Why do you talk in parables? And he begins to explain to him why he discussed in parables, because it's connected to the mysteries. The mysteries is the key to unlock what God has for you. This verse is, for the people's heart has become calloused. If you compare this, you can find out when the parable of the sower sowing the seed, the heart that was hard did not have any understanding, did not receive, and therefore the enemy could steal it. Notice, for this parable, for this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. I want you to notice something. Closing of your eyes is a choice. Have you ever disciplined or correct your child, and as you're talking to them, they close their eyes? They can still hear you, but what are they saying? I'm not listening. I don't accept this. I refuse. And how you perceive something, because this is just not natural vision, this is perception. Spiritual vision, as you perceive something, determines how you can receive from something. If you don't value the word, then it will not, you can't receive from the word. If you treat the word as just as a secondary suggestion, as a backup plan to your plans, you will not see the power that's behind this word. For the Bible says that he watches over his word to perform it. Isaiah 55, 10, 11 says that word goes forth and it makes the situation change. It will not return void. I'm telling you, when you understand the power of God's word and respect it, invite, it's like people. If you don't respect someone, you can't receive from them. If you don't value somebody, then their opinions mean nothing to you. You might hear it, but you blow it off. Yeah, whatever. That's what you say. Who are you? Who do you think you are? Oh, well, maybe they're not anything. Well, listen, they did that to Jesus. Who do you think you are? Aren't you the carpenter's son? What did they do? They devalued him, and because of their perspective, they could not hear. And because they could not hear, because they chose, that's why Deuteronomy says, choose this day. It's your choice. And when you choose to devalue what God is saying, if you choose to devalue people in your life, and I'm not saying everybody who speaks has a right. Let me take a side thought. Some of us need to learn how to relax and not try to force our influence in people's lives that God never called you to influence. You're not Jesus, and you can't be Jesus to people. And God's called you to reach someone, but not everybody. And sometimes we get so frustrated, we spend all our energy trying to reach a few. And if God didn't call you to reach them, let them go. God has somebody else to reach them. You need to reach the ones God's called you. Because if they look at you and say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, say, God bless you, and move on. Move on. Because you're fighting an uphill battle. If they don't have value in what you say, it's even me as a pastor. I can't pastor everybody. There's too many people in the world. But if I'm not their pastor, I can say everything that they need to hear and they won't catch it because there's no understanding of that relationship. They can see me at all different, oh, you're just this or you're just that. That's fine. And that separates them from receiving from what God is doing in and through my life. And that's okay. I love them anyway, but I'm not the one being shorted out. It's based on how you see someone, especially the word. See the word that determines how you receive it. Notice that their ears, and then they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes. And if they see with their eyes, what happens? Then they begin to hear with their ears. And when they hear with their ears, they get understanding in their heart. Notice, and turn. And notice the end result, and I would heal them. the healing of God, the wholeness of God, the shalom of God, the salvation of God, the sozo of God, which is all parts of the covenant that Jesus purchased on the cross of Calvary, was available, and it's available to us if we let him do it. How do I let him do it? I have to turn to him. How do I turn to him? I have to get understanding. How do I get understanding? I have to be able to hear. Romans 10 says, faith comes by hearing. How do I hear? By valuing what I'm seeing in the Word of God. But notice that there's a turn. Say, it's your turn. Look to your neighbor. Say, it's your turn. Come on, don't shout me down. Say, it's your turn. Some of us are waiting for people to bring it in our life, and God's saying, it's your turn. Some of us are waiting for God to do it, and he's saying, it's your turn. Your turn. Well, what am I supposed to do? What is he showing you to do? Because when you get a revelation of who he is, out of the truth of God's word, he always gives you a direction. Look at healings. Jesus will tell the man with the withered hand, stretch forth your hand. Why? It wasn't his. Why can't Jesus heal his hand when it was hidden? Because it was his turn to obey the instruction. And when he obeyed the instruction, it was saying, I trust you enough to do what only you can do. It wasn't that God couldn't heal him with his hand hidden. Because he didn't have enough power. Oh, he can only heal what he sees. He can't heal. No, no. He could have healed it hidden as far as power goes. But he could not heal it hidden when it comes to authority. Because the man had to give God or give Jesus authority into that area of his life. Mary, Martha, remove the stone. Why? It wasn't the removing of the stone that brought resurrection. But it was the removing of the stone that allowed his power to step in and make the difference. James says that a person hears the word and goes his way, and as he looks at the perfect law of liberty and sees what manner of man he is and goes his way and doesn't do it, he'll soon forget who he is. Notice what happened. He is studying the word. Out of the mirror of the word of God, he gets an understanding of who he is. Out of that understanding, he gets a direction. And if he goes out into the world or to his routine and doesn't obey the instruction, the direction, he forgets who he is. But if he obeys it, then he becomes who he is. See, we allow the mirror and people to define who we are. God says, let me show you. I see clearly. I not only see where you're at, I see the end from the beginning. Let me show you who you're at. And he'll take Abraham and call him a father when he has no children. He'll call you healed while you still feel a pain. Why? Because the moment of now does not dictate the destiny of God. And you have to be open for God to show you who you are. Don't wait till your bank account says positive to say you're blessed. No, when it's in the red and negative and you get a revelation, wait a minute, you're my Jehovah Jireh. What am I doing? I'm getting a revelation of who he is. Therefore, I cannot be broke. That's a revelation of who you are. And then you obey what he instructs you to do and you become what he said you become. John 1, and those who received him, to them he gave power to become, power to become, power to become. The power of God will cause you to become what he wants to show you who you are before you started. The power of God will enable you to become what he gives you a picture of. Not the something you create in your imagination, but you see it through the truth of his word. Lord, your word says that I have peace. You're my healer. You're my protector. You're my provider. You're my guide. You're my wisdom. He's been made wisdom unto you. That's why James says, if you lack wisdom, ask. God's going to give it to you. Why? Because he already gave his son. And Jesus has been made wisdom unto you. You have the mind of Christ. Why do we? Because we don't get the vision of who he is that defines who we are, because he's the branch. I mean, he's the vine and we're the branch. You're connected. And the flow is continuous. Life is continuous. As long as you stay connected. As long as I stay connected to his word, abide in me and my words abide in you, then you shall ask what you will. What is happening? We begin to see him and see ourselves from the word. And then out of that, there's a direction. Out of that. See, you don't wait till you're blessed to start tithing. You'll never get God's blessing until you start tithing, even where you're at. But that makes no sense. I know. That's why the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding in all your ways. See, you can't wait till your marriage is great before you start treating them nicely. No. You got to begin to make the investment before you see the results. And you don't wait for it to be the end being done. Well, when everybody likes me, then I'll know I have favor. No, you got to catch favor in your spirit and be that light to your dark world and change it. And God said, I want to show you what to do. But if you hang on to the past, you'll never move forward. That's why Hebrews says, let aside the weights and the sins that so easily beset you and run the race, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. What am I telling you? Don't allow your temporary to define your eternal. Get to catch the vision of who God is and who you are in him. Because you're connected. Say, I'm connected. Say, I'm connected. I'm connected. As a result, you're going somewhere. Amen. You're a bright light in a dark world. You are a city on a hill in the name of Jesus. And I speak and call you blessed today that wherever you go, Psalms 1, as you obey God, Psalms 1, it says that you put your hands through it, it shall be successful. I loose grace, favor, peace, joy, healing, health, life, good words, hallelujah, kind words, mercy in every area of life. I speak the blessing of God that you begin to catch the vision of who you are. And as you walk it out and trust, you will see God do the impossible that you cannot do, that only he can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. We're done.